Hey everyone, and welcome to another exciting installment of Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast. We are talking all things the West Coast Eagles, and we have another wonderful talent from the West, Mel, with me today. My name is Will. How are you going, Mel?
I'm going so much better after that lovely compliment. Thank you. Yeah, looking forward to chatting about West Coast Eagles. They finished 13th last season, which to the outsider might look disappointing, but actually this was the West Coast's best year yet. They had 4 wins, up from their previous 2 seasons of 2 wins. So, you know, that's doubly as good. And I think things will just keep going up for them. I mean, last season was Daisy Pierce's first season. You could see that she was really focused on embedding some of those fundamentals into the squad, because the Eagles are currently the younger side in the competition, so really only up from there. But yeah, she also really focused on that like attacking pressure and quick ball movement, which we could see absolutely shocked some sides like round 1 in Richmond. Richmond were not expecting Eagles to come out that hot.
No.
And then overall, it was just like a good season for them. They had young midfielder Ella Roberts pull up as an All-Australian, and the Eagles overall conceded less handballs and less disposals than any other team, or almost any other team. So actually a very good season for them, other than that 13th there.
Yeah, and the improvement was clear, as you said, from day one. So they needed to tighten up considerably, and Daisy Pierce brought over that Melbourne stinginess. I think there's going to be some really interesting things with West Coast. Clearly a young, developing team. They had also had some interesting ins and outs in the off-season as well.
Yeah, so their off-season was largely about refreshing some of their young talent. So they picked up 4 new players in the draft, but they delisted such a large amount of their young players from previous season. So 8 delistings, 2 of those players didn't play last season, but the 6 that did only had kind of 28 games of experience between them. So kind of cleaning house a bit there. So exciting to see what this, you know, the new bunch of 4 rookies can do. We also have Evie Gooch retired at the end of last season, and Jess Hoskins recently announced she's going to be inactive for season 2025. So all in all, that's quite a lot of outs. On the ins, very quiet trade season for the Eagles. They didn't actually trade anyone in. They didn't trade anyone out. They only traded in. They only traded in Liz McGrath from North. So she's kind of adding another ruck skill to their list of rucks that they've already got. So big, turbulent kind of season for the young squad.
Yeah, I think that for them, the biggest in will probably be Dana Hooker returning from her pregnancy. So a really good experienced player there. Speaking of good experienced players, we are absolutely blessed to have an interview with one of the greats of our game, Emma Swanson, for our episode today. So we'll now throw to Jono for that exciting interview. Can't wait.
All right, I'd like to welcome Emma Swanson of the West Coast Eagles to the Free Kick podcast. How are you going today?
Yeah, good, thanks, Jono. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Thanks for coming on. Very excited to have you. And you've just returned to the official preseason this past month. How's it been going?
Yeah, we have. We are about, I think, maybe 5 or 6 weeks in. All the weeks start rolling into one and feel like one big week at the moment. But it's going really well. We've did a pretty good block of training before preseason started. So once preseason sort of officially started, we were able to get more into sort of the match play kind of stuff. So that's been really fun and makes that sort of preseason grind a little bit more enjoyable.
Yeah, no, it's always good to get back underway and find new ways of doing it. I imagine this season feels a little bit simpler because you've had the same coach 2 years in a row now. How is it being, I suppose, under Daisy Pierce for a second season and trying to really entrench that game plan?
Yeah, definitely the continuity. I guess any player on any team would say the same thing, but continuity in your coaching staff is really important and definitely sets you up for the following years. So we've got all the same line coaches coaching the same lines, and obviously Daisy back for a second year. So a little bit smoother transition than what we sort of did have last year. Daisy obviously moved over with her family in about January, I think last year, and it's sort of all systems go and everyone wanting to get into the club. Super excited. This year has been a little bit more of a slower transition, but yeah, just as much hard work, and it's been nice, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely been a positive change from our experience watching you. I mean, last season looked to be the most successful season the Eagles have had so far, and it's I mean, with the young team that you've got and the ability to really build together, it's looking very positive. I mean, where do you see the Eagles on their journey towards, trying to reach that eventual top goal of winning a flag?
Yeah, what you just said is exactly right. We've got such a young group of and some pretty raw talent. So it's just really important to build that. And as we just spoke about, the continuity in coaching really helps that. But this year we've brought in a couple of really good draftees. So the young kids coming through in the draft these days, like they don't play like young kids. They're sort of yeah, they're ready to go and they're built ready to go. They've come from really good systems and programs leading into the AFLW, and yeah, that definitely helps. So although like you sort of look at our list and often I feel quite old walking around the club, but yeah, the young girls that sort of don't play like they're 18, they're way more mature in their bodies and their footy IQ than I guess what I probably was at 18. So yeah, young list, but full of talent and ready to go, hopefully.
Yeah, no, it's exciting to see. I think it's one of the fun things is trying to watch these new kids coming in and see which one is just gonna, hit the ground running and tear it apart. I mean, what have you made of their preseason so far on the track? It's only been a little bit, but I mean, you've had a very high draft pick. I think pick 7 was the first that you had with Lucia Painter.
Yeah, we had Lou come in. I think she was pick 7, and we had Lucy Boyd, Charlotte Riggs, and Kayla Daglish as well. So, yeah, I mean, all four of them have made a really big impact. Lou is sort of one of these players whose body is, yeah, as I said before, sort of ready to go. She's obviously come from a really successful program leading into the AFLW and has done some serious time getting her body strong enough to compete in the midfield. So, she's one that hopefully we'll see come in and make an impact straight away. And the other three girls, like they're just so raw and ready to go, and yeah, full of talent. But just the way they move, you can tell these girls these days have played football since they were 6 or 7. So yeah, they're football heads. Their football's been their primary sport their whole lives, and hopefully they can all come in and make a positive impact, which I'm sure they will.
Yeah, no, it's exciting to see, I suppose, the midfield you're developing. I mean, one of the big things that we saw last year was your move personally back to defense. And I think a few years ago we would have gone, oh, that's crazy. You need someone of Ella's talent in the midfield. But there's actually a lot of players going through there. I mean, we can see Isabella Lewis, obviously, Ella Roberts, very, very talented. I mean, how do you see that group developing now that you're kind of on the outside of it, looking in?
Yeah, I'm definitely sitting back on the outside. Thankful that I've sort of found a little niche for myself down back. It's super competitive, our midfield at the moment, with everyone fit and ready to go. Yeah, you're sort of just looking at a real big handful of talent. As you said, you've obviously got Bella and Ella. You still got Dreno. She's a little bit older, but she just brings that hardness, the toughness, and the footy smarts. Then you've got Lou coming through there as well. Kayla Kavanagh is coming back from an ACL, and she's worked her butt off. And same with Courtney Rowley. So, yeah, the possibilities, the combinations that we can have through our midfield is really, really exciting. Yeah, they're all quite talented, and we're only talking about this today. Myself and Lou, but they all sort of bring something different. They all have their little one wood. So, yeah, it's really exciting to see the kind of combinations that we can get through our midfield and start building, yeah, like a really successful group through there.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think one thing we love is just that the standards around the competition get higher and higher every year. And I suppose it's probably a big focus of every club we've talked to, which is trying to make sure that they're not just maintaining the effort they put in last year, but taking that next step. And I suppose last year the Eagles, you kind of came out of the blocks with so much intensity. It was great to see. At one stage you're 4-2. You're looking like finals was on the cards. I mean, what's the mantra this year to try and make sure that you keep going with that sort of energy to start the year?
Yeah, I think we've just spoken a lot in the preseason in particular about just raising our average, and we've sort of used that saying just around training standards and not having such a big drop off, which I'm sure will help those sort of from the outside when you look in as someone who watches, sort of looking at us at 4-2, and like you said, thinking that we're going to play finals, and then we sort of just fell away in the back end of the season, lifting our average through training. So that's sort of been our process. I'm sure will help in the long run. Last year, I think there's sort of multi factors as to why that might have happened, but definitely I think focusing on the process of training, showing up each week, competing for your spots, and making training really competitive is only going to help through the season to make us more competitive for longer.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. It does seem like there is a lot of competition on for spots. One of the areas we were looking at was with the addition of Liz McGrath to the ruck lineup. You've now kind of got three different rucks from what I can see, who all of them could be the starting ruck at the start of the year. I mean, how do you see that lining up?
Yeah, I guess it puts us in a really good position. As I said, we want to instill competition in our group and it makes us train harder and train harder for longer and compete for our spots. And the ruck is a really big area that we've been able to do that. As you said, Liz has come in. She's at North Melbourne last year, competing heavily against Emma King, and then comes over to us, and she's got pretty much herself and Sarah Lekay are two of the ones that go really hard on their ruck craft together, and at the same time they're sort of competing for the same spot, which is sort of a little bit unspoken, but I'm sure they've spoken about it. But she's been a ripper, to be honest. She's come in and she applies herself every single training session, and I think that's only going to help Sarah Lekay, who we call Puddles. It's only going to help Puddles develop even more so. And I guess that competition that we're trying to instill, as I said before, that's what we're sort of our mantra for the preseason's just been about raising our average and competing, and that's a real area. I'm sure they're both making each other better every single session, and who knows? I guess it's good to have two of them up your sleeve, and you never know what happens with injuries or having to fling the magnets around. We're pretty lucky that we've got two big girls who have a really good presence.
No, it's great to have that flexibility, I suppose, to swap if someone does get hurt, which is, knock on wood, that doesn't happen. Going back to your role, I guess you've moved back to defence after a bit of time in the midfield, and you've also stepped down as skipper of the club this year. I mean, I feel like this is a whole new space for you. How are you finding that, day to day? Is that affecting, I suppose, how you're showing up at the club, or, how you're feeling in the footy world?
To be honest, like the captaincy stuff, I've had a bit of a laugh with the girls over the last couple of weeks. I don't feel like I'm really doing anything different. I just finish training a couple of hours earlier on a Monday because I'm not in the leadership meeting. So, I'm sure. I think the last couple of years of my captaincy, I sort of relied really heavily on the girls around me, and we did have such a strong leadership group, and we have some phenomenal young leaders around the group. So. We sort of all stuck to our strengths, and that sort of allowed me to just be myself. And I probably haven't really done a thing different this year than what I did as captain the last couple of years. I'm sure I'll notice a change on game day when I'm not flipping the coin, and I'm doing the back end of that horrible pre-game warm-up that I think no player really enjoys. But I haven't really noticed a huge difference. Besides, as I said, finishing a little bit earlier training because I'm not hanging back at leadership meetings. But the move down back as well has been something. It's just I feel like it's really, and it's a cliche, like you hear a lot of players say this towards the back ends of their careers, but it's really sort of re-energized my love for the game. And this time last year I was still training as a mid, so I didn't go back until about round three. Might have even been round four last year, so I sort of missed that pre-season to develop the craft, and I really underestimated how big defensive craft is, and it's just so different to midfield. I was a midfielder for most of my career, and a lot of the games played b below your knees, and then all of a sudden you get thrown down back and you've got these high balls coming in inside D50. So I've really enjoyed the last couple of weeks just being able to to work on that defensive craft, and I feel like I'm just learning so much every single day. And while we've got young players in our team, I don't think they always realize that they're teaching me probably more than I've got to offer them at the moment. So Charlotte Riggs, Lucy Boyd, two draftees that we've brought in, predominantly defenders. I'm watching them, the way that they go about reading the cues, their footwork, and all these things, watching them really intently. And I'm learning so much myself from these two first year players and other players. But yeah, it's been really nice to just get back and learn a completely different position. And yeah, hopefully I can turn it into some kind of game and yeah, contribute to the team performance.
Yeah, no, it's great to hear. I love that there's new faces back there. I was looking at the team going, basically that defensive core that you had last year seems to have all stuck around. It's been a really good, I suppose the core part of the West Coast list hasn't really changed much in recent times, which has been really nice to see getting that continuity. But it does sound like there are some new faces that might be playing around in that back line with you this year.
Yeah, there is a few. I guess we've had to move some. Some have gone up the ground. I think Renchie and B Smith have both been training up the ground a little bit. Whether or not they'll come back at certain times throughout the year, like that's the benefit of it. There's a bit of diversity in that backline group as well. But yeah, bringing in, like, as I said, Riggsy and Boydie, they're two big bodies that have come back. And Georgie Cleaver's training mostly as a back at the moment as well, so she's another one probably similar to myself last year, was thrown around a little bit and probably didn't really get that whole pre-season as a defender, so she's learning a ton as well. She was also playing netball at, last year as well, so she missed a lot of training. So
Yeah.
her game's going from strength to strength, just the fact that she's got the continuity of playing in the back line and that she's at every single training session. So but yeah, a few new faces down back, and we're starting to gel as a group. Like you said, we've sort of got that core group that have stuck together for a little while now, so we're just sort of building on that.
Yeah, no, I'd love to hear that. At the other end of the ground, I suppose one of the challenges that all teams face is trying to find those reliable avenues to goal. But last year you found, Kelly Gibson and Amy Franklin ended up being goal a game players fairly consistently, which was great to see. How does this year's iteration of your forward line compare?
Yeah, it's probably another group that's predominantly stayed pretty consistent. Yeah, Amy Franklin's training really well at the moment. She's really fit, probably the fittest she's ever been for us. So I was only saying to her today, like her attack on the ball and being able to mark the ball out in front of her makes it bloody hard to defend as a defender. So yeah, I guess those girls are just building on their game, getting stronger. And we've thrown Kayla down there, Daggers, and she's just added a whole new level of speed in our forward line. She's very quick, very classy small forward who, like I said before, you can tell that she's played football most of her life. She just sort of knows where to go to find it. So she's a genuine small forward, which are pretty hard to come by in the AFLW. But yes, it's sort of added to that that speed that Michaela Weston brings as well.
No, it's great to hear. Well, yeah, thank you so much for joining us today. We've really appreciated it. Just have this one last question for you, which is who have you been most excited watching this preseason, and who you reckon is going to be set for a big season in 2025 for the Eagles?
Oh, it's a tough question. I'm biased. I have a lot of favourites, but a lot of my favourites are down back. But Charlotte Riggs has been one to me that's stood out a fair bit. She's very young and very raw. She's 18, got drafted this year, but her ability to sort of read the ball in the air and on the ground for such a big girl has been really impressive. So I've really enjoyed watching her go about it and just keep building on her game. And she's one that I think will make a pretty big impact.
Yeah, it's exciting to see. I think some of her intercepting highlights that we'd seen were incredible. So, well, it'll be good to see that
Yeah,
translate to the AFL level.
very good reader of the ball.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. And I guess good luck in 2025.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
Great stuff there. I mean, Emma Swanson, what a fantastic player to get.
Yeah, I actually could not believe it. Like when we were floating the idea in preseason, like, oh, you know, she's stepped down from the captaincy. Maybe she's got some more time on her hands. Maybe she wants to come on our podcast. My God, I did not think we'd ever get to interview Emma Swanson. So that was huge. And she actually confirmed in that chat. She's like, yeah, got more time. Just leaving training a bit earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. And so she brought up some absolutely fascinating players as well. Really fantastic player to get on with all her experience. With that in mind, I guess we'll jump straight into your top five most fantasy relevant players. And number one is a player who basically is, in a way, replacing Emma Swanson.
Yes, so we move from the 2024 skipper to 2025 co-captain. Pick number one I've got as Charlie Thomas. So she is the third best defender in the squad. Nope. She's the third best defender in the league, even. Would you believe it? So she's priced at 70.4, and she's just a super consistent player. She'd fit in really well as a cheaper D1 option for anyone. She's shown herself as just such a breakout talent for the Eagles. I can see that 70.4 only going up and up as she gets more experience under her wings.
Yeah, I can't see anything wrong with picking Charlie Thomas. I don't mind the idea of picking her as a cheaper D1 option as well. We know that Maddie Gay and Tilly Lucas-Rod are the clear two, and they're priced at 10 points above that. So Charlie Thomas slotting in as your D1 will save you a fair bit of money. So I don't mind this strategy, and even if you do want to pay for her as a D2, you're getting a really solid player.
Yeah, absolutely. And then another good option here is Ella Roberts as a midfielder for my number two pick, priced at 92.3. We can see that she's got a huge upside. Like her ceiling is massive. And that price is like a really attractive price point when you've got so many super expensive midfielders coming in, like an Ebony Marinoff and whatnot, way up there. Someone priced at 92 who's got 10, 15 points of upside on them as a young midfielder, improving again with another preseason. She's a pretty good lock.
Yeah, and something that we always talk about with Ella Roberts, because we know her from her early years as a forward, we say, oh, it's a bit of a shame she's only listed as a midfielder. She played purely as a midfielder, so why would she be listed as a forward? But
we can hope.
A 92 average is still nothing to sniff at, and huge upside. One of the things I love about Ella Roberts is that she's one of the midfielders that takes a lot of marks as well. We know she can get in and do the dirty contested stuff in doing the tackles, but taking marks is gold for midfielders. So, yeah, a fantastic option for your midfield. I'd be very happy with her slotting in as my M2.
Yeah, and then pick number three is our interviewee, Emma Swanson. I'm particularly keen on her. So she's priced at 58.1. And as she kind of alluded to in the interview, she only really moved to that halfback position after like round 4 or 5. So she didn't actually have a preseason as a defender. And now she's coming in with a whole nother preseason as a defender, kind of learning from some of the other talent around her. She's really keen and excited for the role. She's got a lot less kind of time commitment pressure on her, stepping away from the captaincy to put it all into funneling that all into her new defender role. And she's got this massive ceiling. Like we've seen her, I think her season average from the year prior was 93. Obviously, that's when she was back in a midfielder. So we're not expecting her to get all the way up there off halfback. But we know she's got the ceiling, and she's one of the more experienced players back there, especially if we're seeing something like a B. Smith pushing up onto the wing, as we kind of heard in the interview. That leaves Emma Swanson as one of the go-to targets down back. So there's just so many things pointing in her direction to be having like a significant headroom there.
Yeah, and another really consistent player. She was pretty much scoring 60s and 70s every week. There were a few low scores thrown in. The final round 38 wasn't ideal, and a 40 against the Giants as well. But as you said, another preseason playing more in that defensive role. One of the things that she's always been fantastic at is defensive running. So she's quite used to getting back and helping out in those contests. I think that getting to more of those contests, getting, you know, used as a distributor off halfback as well. We know how good her running power is. She's a good kick. Yeah, I think there's plenty of upside potential for Emma Swanson. I'm not sure that it's going to be dropping her or throwing her all the way up to a 70 average, for example. But I think it's sort of a 65 is a fairly safe guess, which gives you a little bit of value and a safe option in your back line. We always worry when we try and sell too many defenders being good in one team because, you know, the points have to share around. But I think the difference between her role and Charlie Thomas's is quite significant. So I don't think there's going to be any issue of those two stopping each other getting points.
Cannibalizing, yeah.
If anything, Thomas is going to be taking kickouts or taking intercept marks and passing it to Emma Swanson. So hopefully it's a good synergy.
Yeah. I mean, we do love it when we see two players in one side just like passing it back and forth from each other and we rack up the points. So, you know, could be West Coast this year. Over to pick four, I've gone with Dana Hooker. So she's a bit of an interesting one. A midfielder priced at 57.2. As we mentioned at the start, coming back in after missing season 2024 to pregnancy. So her season before, season eight, she was averaged at 71.5. So that's already like, you know, 15 points or so there. The catch here being that even though she's listed as a midfielder, she did spend a good chunk of season eight playing in the forward line, which is good and bad because if we see her playing more of that forward role again this season, which we might, given that there's such kind of young midfield talent that's been developing, probably don't expect slightly older Dana Hooker to get in amongst it. But if she's playing off that forward line again, we actually know she can still do pretty good scoring. So she's had a kind of a ceiling of 80, high 80s back there. The only kind of downside with her is this 57.2. Like it's such a middling price. If you're picking someone like that for a midfielder, that's right in the middle of the madness zone. Like you'd want to be knowing that there's a guaranteed 15, 20 points of upside there to put them in your starting squad, unless you're just a real, I have a very big risk appetite. But I think we could comfortably say coming back after pregnancy, discounted average, 5 points of upside. But is that enough for coughing up so much in your midfield when you've only got a few spots and there's a lot of good guns and rookies? So I don't know. If she fits your side, she's and you're looking around that price because you're limited, she could be a good pick. But I wouldn't be building your side around her.
Yeah, I certainly think this is a, I can't quite afford a gun. I don't want to drop to a rookie. A fairly, I say safe-ish pick because she won't score poorly. She may not just score really highly. You hit the nail on the head as well, Mel. The biggest issue here is she spent pretty much the entirety of season eight as a forward. If she was listed as a forward, I reckon I'd be so much more keen, even with the options that we do have in the forward line this year. Like, she's such a proven scorer that as a forward, a 60 average would be absolutely golden. It's a really awkward price, as you said. So not the worst option, but yeah, it is a risky one.
Yeah. But, you know, if you are playing that guns and rookies strategy, my number five pick might be one for you. We've got Kaylee Kavanagh, mid listed at 23.2, so like 300K bottom of the barrel, which we do like to see. She's probably one up from a rookie in that even though we haven't seen her play before, she was actually picked up in the 2023 draft. So she's had a few pre-seasons training with the Eagles. She missed 2024 she missed last season due to an ACL. So she's been around the club though, even though she hasn't played any games. And we're hoping that that gives her a bit more of a boost coming into the season, being a bit more aware of the game plan and whatnot than some of these, they're four kind of new draftees. But as we saw from last season, the Eagles tried and tested a lot of their younger players and then cycled through. So maybe a bit of a risk here. But I think, so I'm going to put a watch and wait on it, see how much time she gets. So yeah, a bit of a specky kind of rookie pick for my five.
They were really disappointed that she did do that injury last year because she had an exceptional under-18s year with Calder Cannons, was a really solid, consistent midfielder, got more than 20 disposals in every one of her games, proven ball winner, known for being, you know, a pretty well-rounded midfield player. So I think that she probably gets the nod for me slightly above, say, a Lucia Painter, who, while another, you know, top pick who they're talking has massive raps, putting up big numbers for the Pioneers in the under-18s, she's priced at, you know, 396K. So that's almost 100 grand more for a player where you're not necessarily going to get that extra benefit. So the fact that she is priced at the bottom price really helps Kaylee Kavanagh's case in this instance.
Yeah, that was my thinking. Yeah, so that's my five.
Yeah, and for me, I've gone for a host special, which is fraught with danger, which is picking a West Coast ruck. And the one I've picked specifically is Liz McGrath coming over from North Melbourne. She's priced at 39, so a little bit of an awkward price, just under 500K. But what I really like about her is she regularly dominated at seconds level, only dropped below 60 once in her last full VFLW season in 2022, and has basically struggled for opportunities since with Port Adelaide and then North Melbourne. Understandably hard to break into that North Melbourne side, given they've got Emma King and Kim Rennie. That's very hard to say. Those two are two of the, you know, best tall players in the competition. So she was pretty much playing as a genuine, or there as a genuine backup in case one or both of them went down. But she's 26, so coming right into the prime of her career. And we know that West Coast have struggled with their ruck mix. We know that Lauren Wakefer will probably be a really good ruck going forward, but after the ACL, probably still needs a few more years of development. Sarah Lakai has, you know, battled really, really well in that ruck, but they're probably still looking for a more experienced option to put up against some of the other rucks in the competition. And if she manages to jump ahead of those two, she could be an absolute steal if she establishes herself as the number one ruck this preseason. Will be interesting to see, because we know that they do really like Sarah Lakai and Wakefer playing, which basically meant that neither of them scored well. So if she can manage to get the number one ruck and be the sole ruck, that would be fantastic. I think that you could say the same thing about any of the West Coast rucks in that regard. But Liz McGrath, I think, gives me the most confidence if she becomes the number one ruck.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was already going to stay clear of West Coast rucks, and then I saw Charlotte Riggs has been listed as a ruck, one of their new draftees. Good to hear from the interview she's likely playing in defence, so that's not another ruck.
a bit of a Zoe Wakefer situation there. But I think how they shape up their talls is going to be really interesting, and personally I think Liz McGrath would be a fantastic addition to their ruck department. How that shapes up in the preseason, anyone's guess.
I think it'll be a bit of survival of the fittest. Sounds like from Swanson that, you know, there's good, healthy competition between Sarah Lakai and Liz McGrath for that position. So whoever we see playing is probably going to be in a pretty good position, but the swapping in and out is a little bit of a concern. But, you know, if we see one starting to get primary role for the ruck position, lock them in.
Yeah, so I think we might leave it there. West Coast, really interesting. We've seen they've been improving quite a bit over the last season. Second year of Daisy Pierce should make for very interesting watching. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. Keep following us on the socials and listening wherever you get your podcasts. We've got plenty more exciting episodes coming up soon.
If you prefer to read, go check out our West Coast preview episode on our Substack, and we'll chat to you later.
See you, everyone.